Fahid, who's bounding clear up the hill, and he is a machine. Fahid maintains his unbeaten record, and it's a treble for Willie Mullins and Remy Walsh. Fahid's a champion. Arctic Forest.
It was never in any doubt that it's going to be a magnificent hat-trick in the race for the Willie Mullins trade for Vega, and a treble on the day for Ruby. He didn't have to move a muscle.
Thank you for joining us on From the Horse's Mouth podcast for day two of the Cheltenham Festival. And I'm delighted to say that Paddy Power and Ruby Walsh are going to join me, Patrick Connelly, to look ahead to the grade ones, the handicaps and everything else in between. A reminder, there is a watch along available to get involved in on the Paddy Power YouTube, on Facebook and Twitter channels, where you can watch the celebrities and their discussions, their tips even as well, as the Cheltenham Festival unfolds live on Virgin or ITV, depending on which channel you're watching, or Ruby Walsh on Racing TV. I don't know, Ruby, are you on Racing TV or ITV?
ITV, Patrick, ITV.
Every day?
Every day.
Oh, very
All good. Day, every day.
Who's your favourite co-presenter on ITV?
Co-presenter on ITV? Ed is the main presenter. I don't really have a co-presenter. I'm a pundit, well, Patrick.
Sorry, well, then who is your favourite presenter on ITV? He seems the ultimate professional, Ed.
He's brilliant, yeah. He is. He's top class. And he leads the whole show, I suppose.
Yeah.
Basically.
You didn't say Matt Chapman there. Paddy, how are you?
He's more of a pundit on ITV as well, isn't he?
You call him something.
Your joke. Sorry, I was thinking about... It was a serious question. Sorry, Patrick.
It's not that serious. No, it's not that serious. Don't worry about it. Paddy, who's your favourite on ITV?
Ruby.
Very good. Excellent. Thanks. Excellent. Well done, Paddy. Right, let's get down to business, folks. Let's talk day two of Cheltenham, and let's start with what used to be known as the RSA, or sorry, the Royal Southern Alliance Hurdle a long time ago. Now the Ballymore Novice, used to be known as the Baring Bingham, I believe, at one time. It's time to talk about the horse who was labelled a god given certainty. Bob Olinger by Jamie Codd at one of these Cheltenham previews. Ruby, only seven runners for this renewal, but Willie Mullins has got just the one in Gaillard de Menil.
Yeah, seven and six in the Rawrus Day or the Brown Advisory Plate. Where have all the horses gone, I suppose? Bob Olinger, he's skinny now, 7-4. But the problem is seven runners, so there's no each way of value anymore either. So I have been a Bob Olinger fan all year, and it'll be interesting to see how he gets on here. I thought he's running this when he beat Blue Lord. He's stronger than Gaillard Menil's run at the Dublin Racing Festival when he beat Mouse Morris's horse. So I just think Bob Olinger for me.
Paddy?
I'm going to actually go for Gaillard Menil. I was going to try and tip up Bear Gills each way or something like that, a bigger price one each way, but I think the seven runners is a bit of a pain in the backside. So what I loved about Gaillard Menil the last time was that I felt like he wasn't that well fancied, in the market, like that in Leopardstown. He wasn't like a big plunge or anything like that. I went off a decent price, which suggested that maybe there was more to come, or, you know, maybe surprised connections about how good he was, or to the eye anyway. And I understand that the four might be as strong, but Bob Olinger certainly looks a mudlark. So if the ground is drying out a bit, that might be a small question mark in that one. So I think Gaillard de Menil, just a slightly bigger price.
Okay, the Irish again to the fore in race number one on day two. We move on to, again, what used to be called the RSA Novice Chase, now the Brown Advisory Novice Chase. And this is the 3 miler. This is for potential Gold Cup winners next year. And Monkfish looks a potential Gold Cup winner for many years on what he's done. Ruby, I have to go straight to you. Is he okay? Has he been training well? Because this fella, he looks very smart.
I think he's top class, Patrick. I've been lucky enough to ridden him a few times at home. There's so much to like about him. There's nothing to dislike about him. And look, a bit like I thought for Shishkin on Tuesday, I just think Monkfish doesn't need bad luck. As long as he doesn't have bad luck, he'll win.
Paddy, is it as simple as that?
Simple as that, I think, is head and shoulders above the rest. I mean, the big breakaway is second favourite. I know the Tizzards have to probably come back to form at some stage, but, you know, just like Monkfish is special. And I think nothing else is is close to that yet.
Yes, Monkfish, two votes for him. No surprise there. In terms of the first race, I just forgot to mention the is known as the Ballymore Novice. We do have a free fiver bet for you on paddypower.com. If you haven't got that free fiver bet, get on to paddypower.com. It's free. Use it. Now, we've got a puzzle wrapped in an enigma, wrapped in a crossword, and that is the Coral Cup. But Paddy Power is going to give you seven places each way. So I'm expecting some nice, juicy each way prices. Paddy, I'm going to come to you first.
Yeah, I think it's a hard race to get your head around, but like seven places is pretty compelling. Like, do you know what I mean? And the fact that 7-1 the field, all the sevens may be lucky. So I wish you would go for, it's not number seven, but I'm going to go for the 7-1 favorite, Grand Roy, for Denise Foster and Jack Kennedy. I think this has been the plan for a while. It has been Antipo's favorite for the race for ages and ages and ages. But the fact you're getting seven places for each way, like, Jesus, surely it's going to be in the first seven.
Ruby, we've discussed on the old Countdown Cheltenham shows your record in the race, not fantastic in the saddle. Let's hope you can tip a winner.
I don't know how it would get any better. No, look, I was fancying you raised me up along with Frank Kiki, but he's obviously not in it.
Not in it.
And another one I give a mention to, I'm back to it now, and that's Birchdale. He was eighth in the race last year, but he came only off one prep run last year, and that had been in the previous November in Ascot. At least coming into this year's race, he's had a run in November at Catterick where he unseated. He was last in a novice chase in Newbury and then went to Kempton where he finished third. That was in a jumper bumper race. But he has three runs under his belt and therefore should have the fitness in the clock. Ran well last year. I'm going to go for Birchdale.
Birchdale, lovely each way price. Paddy's gone with the favourite, nice and imaginative Grand Wob, but Birchdale for Ruby Walsh in the car. Remember, seven places each way. Well, that race was tough. The 3:05 on Wednesday is the Queen Mother, and it's got a little bit potentially easier for the big star in Shaq and Pursuit, because the news on Monday that unfortunately Altua, for the second year in a row, is going to miss the festival, took a fair bit of wind out of the sails, I think it's fair to say. Paddy, I'm going to start with you first before we get Ruby's thoughts on Shaq and Pursuit and Silas Emery and co. Shaq and Pursuit, good thing?
Maybe it is. I mean, Shaq and Pursuit obviously looks like the one that could blow them away out of all of them. It's the one you could potentially be very excited by, but I think it odds on like 5-6 is just a little bit short, because you do have grade one winners in there. You've got like Shaq and Pursuit hasn't done it at Cheltenham yet. I mean, it's not his fault. He hasn't had the opportunity, but I think that Put the Kettle On, last year's Arca winner, while he was absolutely stuffed behind Shaq and Pursuit in Leopardstown, obviously loves Cheltenham, has great course form, and really contests Shaq and Pursuit. So I think a 10-1 could be a decent each way bet, Put the Kettle On, with safe in the knowledge that Shaq and Pursuit could lap them, like could be just that much better.
She always goes off a lovely price, Put the Kettle On, particularly at Cheltenham. And I'd say a lot of backers who backed her last year and the couple of wins will be back for more. Ruby, let's talk Shaq and Pursuit. The only thing I think that people are latching on to, the ones who want to take him on, is this: he won't or he mightn't perform at Cheltenham. Is there anything that you can see at home or otherwise which would suggest, oh, he won't take to it?
No, there isn't. And I probably had a different mentality, Patrick. I always went out thinking horses would handle everything, and horses were good jumpers and horses were good horses until they proved otherwise to me. I never looked for the negative before I started, so I don't see why he won't handle Cheltenham. I know he's a 9-year-old, but he's lightly enough raced. I think his form has been the best 2-mile form on offer for 18 months now, and I think he'll take all the beating. Noob Negra, Spanish pedigree, good winner around Kempton. Can he climb the hill here? Only time will tell. Palaiseolog won an ordinary race last year and got ran over at Ascot by First Flow. No, I think Shaq and Pursuit, I just can't find a horse to beat him.
Okay, Shaq and Pursuit, or Put the Kettle On, depending on who you're siding with.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
We move on from the Champion Chase to the Cross Country, where Tiger Roll, potentially his last performance this season. Could it be his last performance? Well, he's down number 13 on the card, but it's all about the French Easy's Land, who dotted up in this race last year. We got 14 runners. We're going to give you an extra place, Paddy. So who do you fancy?
I mean, Easy's Land was so impressive last year. And we had all the drama a week ago when he maybe wasn't going to come over and all that kind of stuff, because the French horse would all turned out to be misguided or misplaced worry. So even money favourite, I think that probably is about right, because Tiger Roll was a specialist here, got stuffed last year, and also just hasn't looked as good this year. So possibly has finally fallen out of love with the game. But Easy's Land looks, I think, rock solid. I mean, the one thing is it's very ground dependent. The trainer's on record saying that, like, the soft ground is very important to us. If it did happen to get up to 28 degrees and sunny over the next day or two and dried the ground out dramatically, I think then you might be having a look elsewhere. But I think Easy's Land is quite obvious.
It'd be hard to watch on TV if the sun was splitting the stones, wouldn't it? Ruby, I want to get your thoughts on Easy's Land, but also I want to ask you a question. I'm not sure if you know the answer. How come Felix de Giles is riding and not Jonathan Bluganew?
I do not know. I was just going to comment on that myself.
Okay.
Patrick, I don't know, but Felix has a pretty good record around Cheltenham himself. He rode a winner here for Emmanuel Cleu last year. He was formerly based with Nicky Henderson. I don't know, is Jonathan Bluganew injured or suspended? That I don't know. Has he failed a COVID test? I don't know. Could be okay. Any one of a load of reasons, I presume.
Okay, fair enough. And your thoughts on the race?
I think Easy Lands will win. I just didn't see enough from Tiger Roll in Navan from the third last hurdle home to tell me he was in good form. And I don't think the on Monday would have suited Tiger Roll at all. So I do fancy Easy's Land.
Do we think this could be the last we see of Tiger Roll, folks, if he doesn't win?
Quite possibly.
Yeah, well, it'd be great if he went out in a win. All right, we'll move on to the Grand Honour. By the way, an extra place in the Glenfarclas Chase the Cross Country if you are taking on Easy's Land, but it's two votes for the French from our lads. Now, the Johnny Henderson Grand Annual, I love looking for a Nicky Henderson horse in this race for obvious reasons, but not too many this year. I'm not sure if he even has a runner on this occasion. Again, extra place here in the Paddy Power, on paddypower.com. Ruby, your thoughts on what is often a very tricky race?
I was hoping the Shunter turn up here, but he hasn't. And the one I fancy is Chosen Mate. He's £9 higher than he was last year when he bolted in. Jordan Gainsford claims £7 off him. Brings that back down to a £2 penalty, really. But that's not true, because claimers claim for a reason. But this is a good young man to ride. And I thought with the ease at which he won the race at last year, looks to me like he's been laid out for it again this year.
Chosen Mate number 3 in the card. Paddy, your thoughts?
Yeah, it's funny. Just when Ruby tipped up Birchdale earlier, I was thinking, like, geez, yeah, it's really the JP McManus horse. Last year, he won just about every handicap, didn't he?
I think won every handicap hurdle last year, yeah.
Yeah, so Antukas is one that I'd have my eye on, but it's quite a short, well, it's 13-2. It's one of the market leaders. So I think Antukas for Joseph O'Brien, he's the top two in the market, actually. But Antukas for him is one I'd really have an eye on. But I'm going for one at a bigger price for just a bit of value.
Yes.
On the slopes. It's a horse, Chris Gordon, Tom Cannon. It's about a 14-1 shot, and it's a horse that has some really run around Cheltenham loads of times. So it's got really good kind of course, got his eye in around the course, and some decent form there as well, behind Simply the Bets and that. So I think on the slopes might be one that's well handicapped.
6 places on the Johnny Henderson Grand Annual. There is one Nicky Henderson horse still in as we speak, the Invil, who's run here before, but he's 11 years young. I'm not sure if he's hiding anything from the handicap. Do you miss being on the slopes, Paddy? I bet you've been on the slopes a few times.
Been on the slopes a few times. I very much miss it, yeah.
I'd say you do.
Maybe next year. Next, we've actually already looked at trying to book one for next midterm, like next February. How depressing is that, anyway?
Oh, poor Paddy. Can't go skiing this year. Oh, I'll tell you, the violins are out. Yeah. All right, we move on to the bumper. Again, we're giving you an extra place in this race. It would normally be a 3-place race. We're going to go 4 each way in this. All the talk over the last couple of months since that scintillating run by Kilcrutt has been about Kilcrutt up until about 3 days ago, when now all the talk is about Sir Gerhard, who could go off favourite, probably will go off favourite. Nice little army to go to war for Willie Mullins. Ruby, your thoughts?
Yeah, look, and we don't know much about Sir Gerhard, Patrick. We only have him a fortnight. He's a lovely looking horse. He looks well. He looks plenty fit. His form is rock solid. And he's now trained by Willie Mullins. Rachel Blackmore rides him. Paul Townend rides Kilcrutt. And they're two very good horses. Kilcrutt was good at the Dublin Racing Festival, but I think that race collapsed. And going for a bit of value here, I'm going to go for Ramelez. I think he's improved a lot since the Dublin Racing Festival. He's 12 or 14-1. Brian Cooper takes the ride in Joe Donnelly's colours. I'm going to go for Ramelez, to tell you the truth.
I'm going to ask probably something that I'd say a lot of people listening would be going, how do you not know? You've had him for 2 weeks, but could you explain to some of the listeners and say, well, I'm going to assume this, that it's hardly like you've actually had a full 2 mile race with Sir Gerhard against the likes of Ramirez, against the likes of, you know, Kilcrutt. Would that be fair?
That's fair. Look, all we could do with Sir Gerhard is basically maintenance work. It's just keep his lungs open, keep him healthy, keep him well. All you can do, you can't get a horse fit in a fortnight. But what you can do is take the edge off him and leave whatever chance he would have in Cheltenham at home in the gallops in Close Hutton. All we could do is too much. So you just keep their pipes open, keep ticking along, and hope for the best. That's why you don't know. I mean, how do you know? You can't just go out. The first morning he came was 2 weeks ago, so you have to get used to the surroundings and the gallop, and then you're only a week away from Cheltenham by the time that happens, and you can't give him a race a week out from a race. So, unfortunately, you have to sit and suffer.
Find out on the track. Paddy, your thoughts on the bumper?
Yeah, so I, funny enough, I'm going against the two, the big match at the top of the market as well. I'm going for, and it's maybe crazy because the form shouldn't be strong enough, and I'm just hoping it's taking a big step forward, but L.A. Bell for the Skeltons, who dead-heated at Cheltenham in November.
Are you sure?
Hang on. Did was it a dead heat?
Well, according to the form book, dead heated in the bumper in November at Cheltenham. And I'm taking on trust that the horse would have strengthened and come on a lot. Obviously, the Skelton Yard has been absolutely flying all season. And I just think at 14-1, it's a bit of a flyer, really, to be honest. So I can't say a strongly fancier or anything like that. But I just want to go for one at a decent price against the top two.
L.A. Bell, Dan, Harry Skelton. The reason we say, did she really win? That was the photo finish, that the dead heat photo finish that wasn't really a dead heat. Anyone who saw the actual photo afterwards, but unfortunately it was too dark. Right, so nice big prices in the bumper, each way prices too. Folks, I need your naps for day two of the Cheltenham Festival. Paddy, please, yours first.
Ooh, it's a tricky one because I've gone for a few big prices here. So I think I'm going to... I can't not put the kettle on, even though I quite like that. I don't want to nap Easy Lands, it's too short. So I'll nap...
So you'll Monkfish.
I'll nap Guyard de Mainil in the very first race.
Guyard de Mainil in the Ballymore Novice. Ruby, your nap on day two.
Ramillies each way in the bumper.
Lovely. Ramillies in the Joe Donnelly Silks. Listen, thank you very much, Paddy and Ruby, for your thoughts on day two of the Cheltenham Festival. Do subscribe to the From the Horse's Mouth podcast, and you will make sure that you get each and every day's tipping special into your inbox. We'll be back for day three anon, but until then, stay safe, stay well, stay lucky.